This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Just a few days ago, I found myself laughing at a series of hilarious photographs of people interacting with statues, all in different poses. They took me back to a photo my husband took of me once in the Lake District at Derwentwater, where I'd curled myself up in the palms of a statue of two giant cupped hands. I wonder if you've seen that sculpture. So I'm going to open our programme today with a song by Alison Krauss and the Cox family called I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I hope that this image of being held and this next song will help those who are feeling a little lost, lonely or fearful in this world of ours at the moment, especially those of you in hospital, that God holds us close to his heart.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry for the future.
Our Bible story today is one where Jesus comes up against the proud and the powerful, and it reminds me of something that happened to me as a 9-year-old child in my school playground. A quite intelligent girl, a fellow pupil who was 1 year older than myself, was trying to score a goal in a playtime game of netball. She was always haughty and aloof in class, but on this particular day she outdid herself. Playing my part as the goalkeeper, I stretched my arm up high as I could to prevent her scoring the goal, and our conversation went something like this. She said, "You're far too close, get back." I replied, "You're supposed to be 3 feet away, and I am." She said, "No, you're not." I replied, "I am." She then brought the full force of her foot right down on my foot, stamped hard on it and yelled out, "Don't contradict me!" I still remember the pain. It was excruciating. And I began hopping around and screaming like a pathetic wounded animal as she calmly put the ball in the net and strode off smiling back to the centre circle. There was no teacher near at hand to witness her savagery, so no penalty was awarded, no sympathy given. One thing concerned me, though, apart from my throbbing foot, and that was the question going round and round in my head, which was, what does the word contradict mean? I still believe I was right, and at least I spoke out for what I believed against someone far more powerful. Enough of that. Let's listen to a song by Emmylou Harris and Don Williams, and it's called When I Needed You.
If I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me for to ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. I would swim the sea for to ease your pain.
Well, the night's warm and the morning's warm and the morning's born with the lights of love, and you'll miss sunrise if you close your eyes and then break my heart.
If I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me for to ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. I would swim the sea for to ease your pain. Baby's with me now, since I showed her how to lay her lily hand in mine. Who could ill agree? She's a sight to see, a treasure for the poor to find. If I
in our Bible story today, Jesus once again faces the chief priests and the elders of the Jewish people who are holding him in contempt for contradicting them and their teaching and their understanding of the law. This was actually the beginning of the week which would lead Jesus to his death on the cross. He had just entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey to cheers and chanting. People were singing and shouting his praises as their Messiah. Now, the leaders didn't like the fact that he'd been welcomed by the crowd in this way. They just might have been furious that his entry into the city was similar to a prophecy made by the prophet Zechariah years before, which said, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." In the eyes of these religious leaders, here was someone ordinary, claiming to be a somebody. Who did he think he was? But then Jesus had created mayhem. Striding into the temple, he had driven out the buyers and sellers who traded there, who were taking advantage of the people by cheating them to make a profit for themselves, with the poor obviously coming off worst, for they had so little to give. Jesus acted in this way because he believed that the holy temple was no place for dishonesty, greed, or cunning. By his actions, he was also accusing those who had allowed them to trade there, the elders and the priests, for surely they were complicit by way of their association with them. The chorus in our next hymn speaks of the courage we need to speak out for truth with courage in face of injustice and wrongdoing. And it says, when the joy of morning tarries, when the waves of darkness roll, will you shine your light of faithfulness, giving courage to my soul? Let's listen to Kelly Minter singing Healing Streams.
Will you hide me in your shelter? Will you shade me with your wings? When the heat of day consumes me, let me drink from healing streams. Drink from healing streams. Will you lift my heavy burdens? Will you pave my path with peace? When the road is steep and stony,
religious leaders confronted Jesus later on by saying, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? They were actually saying, how dare you challenge our practices and what we teach? Don't contradict us. So he asked them a challenging question back about John's baptism, which they refused to answer. So he didn't answer their question either. You see, they considered themselves to be the ones with the real authority by way of their fine education. They'd most likely been taught by the most learned rabbis in the land. They held important positions in the temple. To them, Jesus was from Nazareth, an insignificant town. So he was most likely an upstart, a false prophet. Who was he to challenge their authority, their teaching and their practice? So Jesus went on to tell a story, which we call the parable of the two sons. Let's listen to it from Matthew 21, beginning to read at verse 28. Jesus said, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered, 'I will not.' But afterwards he changed his mind and went. He came to the second and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will go, sir.' But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Most certainly I tell you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. When you saw it, you didn't even repent afterward, that you might believe in him."
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
That hymn showed us the importance of seeking God's kingdom first, and it was sung there by Maranatha Music. When Jesus asked these elders which one of these two sons did the will of the Father, they replied, "The first." They, with all their fine learning, couldn't see that actually both sons in this story had acted wrongly. One by dishonouring his father and bringing shame on his name, the other through his disobedience of his father's instructions. Neither son did right in his father's eyes. But of course, of the two sons, the one who actually did obey his father's will was infinitely better than the other. You know, we've all perhaps known in our lives pious, judgmental people, just like these leaders who love pomp and splendour and authority and recognition, but whose hearts are far from God and whose behaviour has been hypocritical and cruel, rather like that second son. And I'm sure we've also known those who claim to have no faith whatsoever, whose hearts are far more generous and compassionate than most religious people, rather like the first son. But then herein lies a hidden truth, because right there before these leaders and the people stood one who was the perfect son, whose mind and heart were in complete harmony with his father's will, even if it meant being led to death on a cross. Here was one with God-given authority and who was without sin. The Bible tells us we're all disobedient children. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. So the real question, those of us who say we have faith in God, is, do my actions match up with what I speak out and believe? We need to ask, am I doing the will of my Father in my way of life, my speech, my thoughts, my attitudes towards others? Do I please him? This next song calls for us to ask God to shine a torch on our lives and highlight any way that displeases him. And it's taken from Psalm 139. It's called Search Me, O God.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know.
Oswald, one of our most famous Northumbrian kings, once said of St. Aidan, one of our most famous Northumbrian saints, there is no difference between what he teaches and what he is. Wow, what a statement. Can we honestly say that of ourselves? That is the question we need to get to grips with if we're to grow as Christians and move on in our faith. Here to end our programme today is a song called Living Prayer, an Alison Krauss song which has a chorus, take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God, to thee. Let's make this prayer our own today. And so it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and my technical assistant, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
In this world, I walk alone, with no place. but he's become my eyes to see the strength to climb, my griefs to bear. The Savior lives inside. The Father gives.